Are price gougers making Sandy's aftermath worse?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. A week after Hurricane Sandy slammed into the East Coast, more than a million people in the Northeast are still without power. Making matters worse, it's getting very cold outside, and another storm is due to hit the region tomorrow. Meanwhile, gas shortages continue, and New York State's Attorney General is investigating claims of price gouging, as Audrey Quinn reports.
The Sunoco gas station on Brooklyn's Atlantic Avenue hasn't had gas since last Wednesday. Attendant Marwin Allen is not sure when they'll get more, but cars line up around the lot, waiting for the delivery truck.
Soon they see the truck, they will jump.
Oh, yeah, all those people there?
There's one, two cars, a few of them down the block waiting for gas.
Opportunistic New Yorkers are now offering their extra fuel on the black market at up to $20 a gallon. David Greenfield is a New York City council member. He says the practice is not legal.
No, of course not. It's not legal to sell gas on the street or on Craigslist or online or out of your trunk of your car, right? We don't even know what kind of gas it is that you're purporting to be selling.
To avoid the long lines in Brooklyn, the council member himself was headed to New Jersey last night to buy gas.
And it's something that really should have been foreseen. And it's kind of surprising that we're in this situation right now.
He says the best defense against price gouging is to bring more fuel trucks to the city as soon as possible. I'm Audrey Quinn for Marketplace.
Well, it is Election Day, of course, and in addition to the presidential and congressional races, there are going to be a lot of other things on the ballot, depending on where you live. In two California cities, Richmond and El Monte, voters will decide whether to impose a 1 cent per ounce tax on sweetened drinks. And as you can imagine, the idea of a soda tax is not going down well with the soft drink industry. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
Studies suggest that the tax would cause a 10% drop in soft drink consumption. That would prevent thousands of cases of heart disease and diabetes. Kirsten Bibbins-Domingo has studied the soda tax at the University of California, San Francisco.
The magnitude of those health care savings is, in fact, greater than the amount that would be generated from the penny per ounce tax.
The soft drink industry is spending around $3 million to defeat the soda tax.
Un paquete de 12 bebidas va a costar $1.44 extra.
This ad targeting Latinos says the tax would add $1.44 to a 12-pack of Coke. Joseph Thorndike is director of the Tax History Project. He thinks the soda tax is unfair.
Why aren't we taxing ice cream or beer? These things are all contributing to the obesity epidemic, but we're not targeting them.
Instead, Thorndike says the poor get targeted. Because low-income Americans drink the most soda, they would also pay most of the taxes. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning. Down 0.25% in Hong Kong, but up 0.7% right now in Frankfurt. American Suzuki Motor Corporation has filed for bankruptcy protection, and it'll stop selling Suzuki vehicles in the U.S. The company wants to emerge from bankruptcy with a focus on motorcycles, ATVs, and boat engines. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 19 points to close at 13,112.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
When you think of really desirable jobs, you'd probably put President of the United States on that list. It's not easy, but it is definitely interesting, and you do get your own plane. Another job that might be on that list is the one that Mike Ginella has. He's the head of the U.S. Records Management Team for Guinness, as in Guinness World Records, which recently came out with its latest book for 2013. Mike Ginella joins me now here in the studio. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So tell me, first of all, what exactly you do for a living?
For a living, I get to watch people try and shoot basketball free throws for an hour, try and make giant hamburgers and grow long fingernails and that kind of thing. So a little bit out of the ordinary.
You just go around and verify that all of these people have, in fact, broken the world record.
That's a part of it. That's the most exciting and the fun part of it. We do get a lot of people that send us materials and evidence, which we review in-house as well. But probably the most exciting part and the most fun part is, yeah, exactly, going out, traveling the country, the world, and seeing that kind of stuff.
Okay, so give me an example of a couple of your favorites from the last year that you've been able to go and verify.
Some of the favorites, you know, there was an attempt that I went to a couple weeks ago, which was unsuccessful for the most pull-ups done in 24 hours. If you remember gym class, you know, trying to pull yourself up. This was someone who couldn't get the record, which was more than 4,000, but he was able to get to more than 2,500 before he just fatigued.
Pull-ups,
yeah. So it was incredible to watch him, you know, up and down, and obviously you have to be in tremendous physical shape.
What record do you think we here at Marketplace should try to beat?
One that's really fun, and I think about this because whenever I've seen it done, it's been sort of in this type of environment, is the fastest time to duct tape someone to a wall. And the record is really impressive. It's, I think, something in the minute range. But you basically have to find someone, and we have parameters for how, you know, much they must weigh, so it's not an easy kind of taping a child to a wall. But you have to get them on the wall. They have to stick up there for at least a minute after you're done. And it's just great seeing people that, you know, we don't know who's crazier, the folks that say, I want to duct tape someone, or the people that say, duct tape me, because it does take a little bit of partnership there. But I think you guys can give that one a shot.
Let me just ask my producer to see if Kai Rizdahl is in the office yet this morning. Maybe we can try that with him. Well, Mike Janella, head of U.S. Records Management at Guinness World Records, which has got its latest book, Guinness World Records 2013, out right now. Thanks so much for coming in.
The pleasure's mine. Anytime.
And finally, to Spain, where pork is king. The country is home to Europe's biggest pork eaters, thanks in part to all that delicious Iberian ham. Well, according to Bloomberg News, the Spanish actually ate more chicken than pork last year for the first time on record. That's because pork prices have jumped some 35% in the past year. Bloomberg reports some ham sellers in Spain are shifting their focus to foreign tourists who love Spanish ham and still have enough money to buy it. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.